If you will repeat after me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you that my eyes see.
I thank you that my eyes see.
My ears do hear.
My ears do hear.
And my spirit does perceive.
And my spirit does perceive.
You're on the job. And I can hear.
And I can perceive.
That you're talking to me.
Amen.
A little earlier we kind of touched on the reality of Jesus' mother. And I'd like you to kind of take a peek at Acts chapter 1. Verse 14 says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. So this was a family affair. And verse 15 says, in those days Peter stood up among the believers, a group of numbering of about 120. And he went on to speak some more, and obviously I don't want to go there because that's not the focus. What I want you to focus on is the reality that in Acts chapter 2 it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Now, it doesn't say that in the NIV, but it does in the Amplified and in the King James. They were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting, etc. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 4, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them, not as their soul controlled them. You have to understand that if you still believe that you're two parts, you're missing the most important part of yourself. The soul and the body are wonderful gifts. But the first creation was really your spirit being. In Acts chapter 4, so I'm going to skip over to Acts chapter 4. Verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, realizing that they were unschooled, ordinary men.
Amen.
If you're ordinary men and you're ordinary women, you what?
Qualify.
They were astonished that they took note that these men had been with Jesus. If you think you can run your life without being with Jesus and spending time with him, then you're going to be very religious and nobody is going to be looking for a second look. Because the world is loaded with religion.
Amen.
Okay? We spoke a little bit about Mary and her religious upbringing. And I really want to kind of bring something in here that I pray you will kind of grasp. Because in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit filled her. But if you go back and recognize that when the angel told her that she was going to have a child, he said, you will be overshadowed. There's a difference between indwelling and overshadowed. The overshadowing of the Holy Ghost allowed the impregnation for her to have that boy. And she walked around with that boy 9 months. I'm sure we talked a little bit about how she may have been persecuted, how Joseph had to finally get a dream to pick her up. Now you understand he was picking up a mother, no longer a girlfriend, No one had conceived that she would definitely be pregnant before he took her home. Certainly not him. It speaks of his background as being righteous. He was a righteous man. So he was a godly man. Otherwise, I think Mary's father would have said, uh-uh, it ain't happening, buddy.
Not today.
No. And my little Gabriella went through a test this week, and her parents had to kind of stand up for her because there was an abusive young man that threatened. She's 11 and a half. So her father called me afterwards and said, I warned the officials, I'm being very nice today. But if you guys don't do what you're supposed to do, with my little girl being threatened that she doesn't want to go to school because she's afraid of a child her age, abusive language and threats. And I'm just thinking that Mary was maybe a couple of years older. She might have been 13, 14. I can just imagine the pressure that was involved in releasing her to Joseph. I believe, and I could be totally wrong, but because I know some of the Jewish background of how things functioned, when Joseph had that dream to go pick her up, he didn't go to Mary. He had to go to Mary's dad. Because that was the hierarchy of that day. You did not marry or commit to Mary without the parents' approval.
Amen.
It was just the way things were and still are in some nations and countries and backgrounds today. All right?
It should be.
It's just the way it is.
It should be.
Well, again, you know, we'd have all kinds of votes here and we'd be in trouble. But the bottom line that I'm looking at is I can just see Joseph and his anxiety saying, I know the whole cotton picking town is talking about her, but I want to get her out of here. And I'm taking her home because I'm all done listening to the gossip. Now you say, well, how do you know? Well, you know because of one thing. 30 years later, the people's nature did not change. 30 years later, when Jesus says, I am the Messiah, they want to throw him over a cliff. Now, that tells me they're very cool, calm, and, you know, collected, and they're very docile and let anything happen. It's not the case. Jesus had to walk in between them and kind of disappear so that he didn't lose his life. And I believe Mary would have had the same kind of threats just because she had said yes. And I'm kind of pushing this because I know that some of you said yes to becoming a mother. And the cost of saying yes has been difficult, sometimes not understandable, because the house of prayer is built on people who have had to struggle to go forward and to keep going forward. Otherwise, I don't think you'd be able to be here, because if life was so easy, you wouldn't be able to handle the pressure. God chose the people to really start this particular prayer team together to stand in the midst of a lot of darkness, and that was God's plan. And I believe we can learn from Mary, her father and mother, how they submitted and finally released her to go with Joseph. Now, he had to have a lot of revelation from the Lord to carry that ball all the way. And you know, being honest, her ability to submit, will he honor that this baby is coming from heaven? He may have said the words, but can I sleep with him? I believe she had to go through that. And she had to make the decision to let him be the one that would guide and comfort her even when it came time to give birth. You see, there's a reason that the empty hotel that was allowed by God. I can just imagine what he probably said. You mean, here I am, and I'm in a strange town. There's not even a room for my wife. She's about to give birth, and she's going to give birth in a stupid manger with the animals? And you know what? That was another one of God's plans. Where do baby sheep get born but in a barn? They don't get born in a hotel. And she was carrying the Lamb of God, wasn't she? Where are lambs born? In a barn. You know, the explicit design of the Father choosing this woman, then carrying the 9 months, having Joseph be the assistant all the way to the finish line. I am positive that there had to be anxiety beyond understanding for those two kids. I don't know how old he was, but he probably was early 20s, because that was about what they had to, because he couldn't have taken her home unless she had a house. Think about it. That was part of the tradition. You had to have a house in order to bring that baby, you know, and or the mother, I should say, with the baby. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. Joseph would have had a no from his in-laws. Forget it. You don't have a place for her. She's not going with you. So, why does this particular concept of watching God use this woman all the way through the book of Acts? You know there's a hint that she's around. The ministry of the women to the body of Christ. The motherhood, the hunger for making sure that the babies all get fed, they're getting their diapers changed, etc., etc., is all part of God's plan. Us guys, we can handle that to a degree. But in case you forgot, we weren't equipped. We were equipped to do something different. And so please think about the reality that this Mother's Day, that you acknowledge, not only was Mary filled with the Holy Ghost, but she became an intercessor with the rest. Her job was not done until the resurrection. I believe that even after the resurrection, there was persecution. Because we know it for sure. Let's go back to chapter 4. Go back to verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John. While they were speaking to the people, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Do you think Mary was aware? Absolutely. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. So now we've got 3,000 in Acts chapter 2. We've got another 5,000. How are you going to lodge them? Where's the next meeting? The next day, the rulers and elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there. And so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice it's filled. Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Said to them, rulers and elders and people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Talk about a bold comment. But whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, etc. 13, they saw they were unschooled, etc. 14, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing there, there was proof. Amen? There was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them. We must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. I rest my case. There were times that you're going to have to obey the Lord instead of the one that makes or breaks you. I believe that when John and Peter and James got filled with the Holy Ghost, their entire family was affected. I also believe that all the women that came home full of the Holy Ghost caused a lot of stirring going on all over the nation. And I believe that we are about to see some of that same type of reality happen in multiples of levels in our area and in the place where God has placed us, which happens to be Chicopee. I just want to thank you to remember why you are here. And if you're a mother or one that has had children, love them. Love them where they're at. Be the example that you've been called to be. And the Holy Ghost is going to just automatically testify on your behalf. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to say anything. Just be the women that you've been called to be. And I honor all of you today. And all those that are not here but listening to this message. As women of God, consider Mary and what she went through. And then consider her obedience. And as she carried it to the finish line. So close your eyes right now. Say, Holy Spirit, confirm to me what you want from me. I can receive the grace today to get to the finish line on time in Jesus' name. Amen? And share some hugs with each other. And if I remember correctly, next week will be
Fellowship Sunday.
Fellowship Sunday.